Hello and welcome to another edition of Chesapeake Hockey Week. I don't know why my voice was that loud at the beginning, but I'm Scotty Waz. How are you folks doing this day as we lead up to Easter Sunday? Again, no reason for that Irish accent either. So we got some stuff to talk about. We got some Black Bears. We got some Stevenson. We got some Stevenson Club. We got some Towson Club. Do we have some players? We got some players. We'll talk a lot about all that. And hopefully the NHL website can stay sturdy, even though the front page is not. We'll start off with the Maryland Black Bears, who went up to Northeast this weekend and got 3 of 4 points. On the downside, the Northeast Generals got 3 of 4 points, causing a stalemate in this whole chase. We'll start off with Friday, though, and Friday got off to a pretty good start for the Black Bears in and of themselves, as they played hard. Like, they dominated that first part of the first period. They pretty much commanded the play, and it was hard to see how this team would get all the, you know, would lose all that energy, but they did somehow. But it's okay. Things happened for a reason, and they got good at the end. We'll start off at 7-10 in Jude Curtis, his 8th of the year, off a Sean Kilcullen pass with Luke Mountain as the secondary. Wonderful play there. As just moving the puck around, getting it going, and Curtis just buries it. Then 3 minutes and 33 seconds later, Cam Gaudette, his 30 of the year, against his old team from Tanner Roan, Brandon Piku. Piku got this thing initially started, gained the zone, shot it. It kind of bounced off the backboards, back over the net, and into the slot area. Roe tipped it a little bit, and then Gaudette finishes the job for his 3rd of the year. His family, I believe, was in attendance too, so cool for him to do that in front of his folks. Northeastern kind of started to battle back. They had a little bit of pressure on Maryland, a little bit, just a little bit, not too much. Maryland won the first period shots 15-8, but the second period, Northeast kind of got things going. Of course, a couple penalties against Maryland didn't hurt their cause either for getting back in the shot total. But it wasn't until a shorthanded goal at 15:46 as Matthew Bozar gets his 6th of the year, just breaking in. It was just a bad happenstance where just miscommunication, turnover in the neutral zone. Black Bears defenseman blows a tire, and then off to the races, beats Michael Morelli 2-1 on that one. Then a quick start to the third for Northeastern. Brent Kiefer, his 7th of the year, 2:36 in. And then 2.5 minutes later, David Andrzejczyk, no relation to the other David Andrzejczyk, gets his 4th of the season. And Northeastern, just like that, Garrett gets the lead. Before, Maryland kind of went into a shell. They kept attacking, kept striking, kept going at it. Kind of a different look that we've seen from this team in the second half of the season than we did at this little middle part of the season here. But then Dylan Finley ties it back up. Hunter McCoy, Josh Nixon on the assist on that one. That's Finley's first goal in the NA, I do believe. So that's a big, big boost for them. And that was just about halfway at the third period. Couldn't get anything busting either way. So we go to a overtime period that was interesting. Maryland gained possession, for the most part in that first. Northeast just goes ahead and they gain possession. Turnover, outlet pass. Josh Nixon looks like he's breaking. Gets tripped up at the blue line. They give him a shot to penalty, and he converts it. Almost missed it. The hockey TV camera almost missed the goal. A nice little dipsy dude cut in front of the net, and that's his 6th of the season. And that's all she wrote. Maryland gets the win 4-3, outshooting Northeast 38-29. Michael Morelli with 26 saves in the winning effort. So they have that going for him. Good momentum, good overtime win, good fight back from this team. And then they go into Saturday's game, which was just a dogfight. Like, you want to talk about not giving up an inch one way or the other. That's pretty much how it went, as no scoring in the first and second. Not without opportunities, of course. Maryland had 21 shots through two. Northeast had 18 shots through two. And both Hugo Haas and Hans Colleen were pretty solid in their respective nets. But then Maryland gets a power play goal, a rare power play goal, if you will. Brandon Piku is 3rd of the year from Cam Gaudette and Daniel Colabuffo. 6:50 in. Things were going good. And then under 5 minutes left, Ryan Gordon gets his 3rd of the year to tie it up. And then we go to overtime and just a weird transitional play where just the bouncing puck in front, Liam McCanny buries his 16th of the year. Just things bouncing all over the place in front of the net. Couple of good chances for Maryland in the overtime period, but it ended with it ended 3:29 in. Hans Colleen with 33 saves. Very solid performance from him this game, but it was an OT loss on that end. So where does that stand Maryland right now? Well, they are in fourth place. They hold serve in that one. Danbury is only 3 points behind. They have 7 games in hand. Northeast is also 3 points behind, but they have Maryland has 5 games in hand on them as the Black Bears now take on New Jersey in a home-and-home this weekend. Should be interesting as New Jersey kind of on a downslide, winless in their last 4. Maryland on a little bit of an upswing at points in 3 of their last 4 games. So we will see how this all pans out because I think we're at a point now where Maryland is starting to get back, get that mojo flowing again. Just an interesting home-and-home weekend. You don't really often see this. They'll play in Piney Orchard on Friday night, 6:30 puck drop there. And then on Saturday up in New Jersey, I believe that's a 7 o'clock puck drop up in New Jersey. I wouldn't say Middlebrook, but I don't think that's where they're at. So a big weekend, as every weekend is going to be for the Maryland Black Bears going forward because you look at the schedule now, and there's 13 games remaining. Only have a couple weekends left. You have a lone one-game weekend again up in Johnstown for some odd reason. So, you know, it's going to be heavy hitters here, there, and everywhere. So this weekend, again, home on Friday, away on Saturday, then to Johnstown, then back home, then to Northeast, then to Jersey, or then home again. Then, yeah, they'll close out the season. They actually close out the season at home. It's the first time that's happened in the last 3 years. So here we go. Crunch time. Got to get things going, and we will see how the Black Bears respond to this weekend, 3-point weekend, after a pretty solid weekend the weekend before, too. So we'll see how it all pans out. The Stevenson Mustang men had their Wednesday game postponed against Manhattanville, as we thought. We didn't know if there would be a game in its stead, and there was not. But they did have a game on Saturday at Nazareth up in Rochester, and a big comeback victory for the Stevenson men as they get 5 unanswered goals from the midway part of the second to the end of the game, and they beat Nazareth 6-3 in this one. Nazareth gets 2 in the middle part of the first period. Henry McKinney and Grant Gallo score 3.5 minutes apart, and then in the period 2-0 before Stevenson gets on the board 44 seconds in, and Mac Lowry gets another goal. This kid's been on fire this year. Ryan Patrick on the assist on that one. 3 minutes later, Nazareth extends the lead to 3-1 with Joe Brophy getting on the board, and then it was all Stevenson from there. The herd was a-coming. Carl Leiden at 9:58, power play goal from Evan Beers and Houston Wilson. Evan Beers then says, you know what, I want to get a goal of my own. As 4 minutes later, he pots one in. Luke Benitez on the assist. Then in the third period, 46 seconds in, wasting no time. Matt Daugherty with a goal. Carl Leiden and Lowry on the assist there. Blake Coleman getting in on the action, 13:21 into the third from Zach Egber. And then shorthanded empty net goal for Eric Olson with 1:48 remaining is all she wrote. Ryan Kenny, 27 saves. As the Stevenson Mustangs end the regular season 10-2-1, 7-1-1 in UCHC competition. That is good enough to get their MAC, the Mid-Atlantic Conference title, their second in history and first since 2018 on the board. And what's next for them? UCHC playoffs, baby. That's right, Wednesday, they will take on Newman. As Newman comes into town, and I believe it's a one-and-done situation here for the quarterfinals, so they will be playing at Stevenson, and the 2 games that Stevenson has played Newman this year, 2 wins, 6-2 and 4-2, so we will see if the luck continues with the good old Stevenson men and where this is going to take them, and there might be other games after that. I don't know what kind of seeding they're going to have for this whole shebang-a-bang, but maybe if I check right now and, you know, did research, maybe that could have done something. So let's take a look at what's going on here. as it looks like it's just going to be a gauntlet. As Stevenson will take on Newman. That's interesting. So, because there's limited travel. So Nazareth would have taken on Stevenson because they're the 7th seed, but because the schools are 330 miles apart, Newman takes that over from there. So the winners of those games will go on to Friday's semifinal, highest remaining seed against lowest, and then the middle ones from there, and then finals on Monday from the semifinal. So we might delay next week just to see if Stevenson gets in it. If they are, then you know what's up. If we do delay it, then you know what's up. If we don't delay it, then you don't. We'll review them. So there's that for the men. The women, however, they had their own weekend of sort. Well, they had a weekend. It's not really of sort. I don't know why it's being so mysterious with this. But they had a big weekend against Newman, a big sweep and a home-and-home venture for them. 8-1 the final in Aston. On Friday night, Newman got the goal. Scoring started off early. Georgie Rowland, Potts went in, 8-13 in. And then it was all Stevenson. Nicky Kendrick, unassisted, 9-43, ties that game. Then shorthanded later on in the first period. T. Ferreira, Potts went in unassisted, 14-48, end of one, 2-1. And then Stevenson turned on the burners in the second period. Casey Stork on the power play from Trim Barkless and Carly Aguirre. Then Callie Joe Zaliga from Barkless and Hannah Labbe, 11-42. 16 minutes even, Kendrick gets on the board again from Angelica Saluzzo. Then Emily Brightbill gets in a minute 9 later after that, unassisted. And then a minute after that one, Nikki Kendrick finishes off the hat trick on the power play from Ferrara and Paige Sullivan to end out the scoring in the second. And then on the power play with 25 seconds remaining, Hannah Labbe puts one home for an 8-1 final. Barkless and Aguirre on the assist. Anika Carlander, not much work there. 7 saves on 8 shots for the victory. They drove back home to Reisterstown for senior night, where my good buddy Petey Medhurst was on the call, the voice of Navy football and Navy sports. He did some Stevenson University women's hockey in this one. It was really cool to hear. I love Petey a whole heck of a lot. Stevenson on senior night did the seniors good. They win 7-4 in this one. Really a tale of three periods, as with all hockey games. But Stevenson scored only in the first and third. Newman scored only in the second. 1:14 in, Trim Barkless, Potts won home. She had a big weekend from Brianna Crossan, 1:14 in. And then a minute and 34 later, Nikki Kendrick keeping the goal scoring alive from Barkless there. Making it 2-0, and then Carly Aguirre getting in on it. Barkless and Zaliga on the assist to end the scoring in the first. Newman got a little hype in the dressing room, and then they started to go to work for themselves. Georgie Rowland gets a goal 3:31 into the second period. Then Kaylee Prance, 10 minutes later, closing that gap even more. And then 30 seconds after that, Jeannie Padden goes and ties the game. 3 minutes after that, Padden then gets her second of the game to put Newman ahead, going to the locker room. Stevenson had a little come-to-Jesus moment, I am sure, and then come out firing on this one. 48 seconds into the third, Barkless from Aguirre and Sullivan. Then Hannah Labbe takes the next two goals, 253. Holy crap, that was a little backwards moment. And then 727 for back-to-back goals. Aguirre assisting on both, and Barkless assisting also on the second goal. Then Nikki Kendrick shuts out her big weekend. Another goal, 5 goals on the weekend for her. Saluzzo on the assist at the 10-minute even mark, and that's all she wrote on this one. Carlander with a little bit more action, 12 saves in this one as Stevenson finishes their season 9-3-0, 7-1-0 in UCHC competition. They take home their second straight Middle Atlantic Conference title, their third in 4 years. And not to be outdone, not to stop the accolades here, but Trinity Barkless with the MAC Offensive Player of the Week with 2 goals and 6 assists. A lot of players on that team could have claimed that one, but Barkless had a standout weekend, and she gets the honors on that one. So we go to the UCHC playoffs on this one as well, and Stevenson will take on Manhattanville on Thursday, and then Saturday, and then Tuesday we'll have the finals on this one. So again, the travel rule. So longest trips and da-da-da-da-da. So the two will face the sixth seed in this one. So there you go. That is the Stevenson update. We got some playoffs coming up. So here we go, Mustangs. Here we go. Ooh, ooh. The Stevenson club team did have some news to announce as well. They announced their first game coming up on April 10th is when they will travel up to Newman. Of course, this is all cases and testing and all that fun stuff pending. So, yeah, they've got that going for them, which is really good. Good to see the boys get out there on the ice. And they got out there on the ice again this weekend as the inter-squad Turtle Cup happened for the Stevenson Club hockey team. A good thing going on there as Team Purple takes home the Turtle Cup. They went 4-1, and they beat Team Blue, I'm assuming. Team Red, who also went 4-1. Team Red went 1-3. Team Orange was just they were just happy to be there when all was said and done. But good to see the boys back out on the ice, having a time for themselves. Also, Marcelo Palazzo and David Shahady playing all 9 games, no breaks in between because they only have 2 goalies. So shout out to them, Warriors, in this one. So it was a good time had by all in the Turtle Cup number 2. And then away they go. So they are ready for Newman. We're going to see how this thing happens and then make sure things go onward and upward from that. Team Purple consisted of Josh Watterson, who is the captain of the of that team, Eric Bennett, Logan Orr, Joey Geary, and Connor Wachowski are the winning teams on that one. So shout out to those guys taking it home for Team Purple. And as a Mount St. Joe alum, Purple and Cream to victory, boys. Another news from the club ranks, Towson University starting practices and possible games to be announced soon. So Towson, of course, had a rough season the past couple years in D1 as ebbs and flows happen. But some good news, at least they're trying to make some kind of concerted effort to get back onto the ice and get back in some game shape, get some games in. It's not going to be like it's going to be a full season, obviously. We're in the throes of April right now. So, yeah, we are going to see how this all goes. Updates will be happening going forward. So we will see how this all shakes down. And, yeah, it'll be fun to see Towson back out there again at Ice World proper. So we will see what happens for them. But it's good to see a lot of these club teams get back on the ice, obviously, with the University of Maryland having to shut down for testing reasons and things like that. You hate to see it, but now they're teams like Towson and Stevenson are getting back out there, which is a huge, huge deal. So we will see how they all go, and we will keep progress of them as much as we can for as long as we go in this week, in this year. It could be a lot longer than usual, depending on what happens in the NA. The NA is really our feeding point for this point, so we got that going for us at least. How about we get to some players? That's right. We'll start off with Mike Chen, who is doing the dang thing out there in Pensacola on the blue line for the Ice Flyers. He had 2 assists on Saturday. The Ice Flyers got swept this weekend by the Make It Mayhem. But 2 assists for him ups his total this year to 12 points, which is pretty good considering he was over in the VHL, the KHL's minor league system. So he comes back over here. Not really much of a change for him, getting back into the groove of North American hockey. And doing pretty good for himself down in the SPHL. Patrick Giles and the Boston College Golden Eagles had their season cut short as the round of 8 took them down in this one. So their season is done. Giles finishes with 3 goals and 9 assists on the year. A bounce-back year. He was hampered by injuries in 2019-20, but gets back, gets 3 goals, 9 assists. Matched his goal total from last year. So he is going into his senior season or possibly second junior season this year with the NCAA. The players do not have this year count against their eligibility. So we will see how a lot of these players navigate this going through that. So we will have to see what goes on for that one. So, yeah, it's a tough thing. and we will go onward and upward from there. Will Margell this weekend, he kept his hot streak going, man. This guy is just on fuego. Had 3 goals and an assist this weekend as the Tomahawks swept the New Jersey Titans. Big weekend for Margell. I mean, this kid just keeps on firing, and New Hampshire is going to have a nice little weapon for them when he goes there next season to play. Jarrett Rosberg, the sturdy defenseman, gets back on the score sheet on Sunday against the Lake Erie Monsters, but the Texas Stars fall 5-2. One assist for Mr. Rosberg on that one on 4 shots on goal. I mean, he's hammering the puck. Like in his last 5 games, he's got 15 shots on goal. So he's averaging 3 shots a game in his last 5. So it's not without, you know, it's not like the points aren't coming. I mean, the opportunities aren't coming. He's actually getting it there. So we will have to see how long this can last without him breaking through to the other side on the goal portion of it. That was a really sloppy put to together sentence, wasn't it, folks? Oh, well, what do you expect from me? I mean, we know this going into it. And we've done it. That's it. It's over. Why are you still here? Thank you guys for listening. I really appreciate it. It's always a pleasure when people listen to my ramblings and things like that. ClutchandCrabHockey.com. When things do get written, then we'll get posted up there. Other places to interact with me, Twitter.com/ChesapeakeHWPod. Facebook.com/ChesapeakeHWPod on that one. But that's it. That's all. I'm Scotty Waz. Take care of yourself and someone else. This has been Chesapeake Hockey Week on the Face Off Hockey Show Media Faction. You guys have a wonderful rest of your week. A happy Merry Easter to you if you celebrate it. And we'll come back to you guys next week when we got some more Clutch and Crab hockey to talk about. See you guys later. Peace.